What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 167 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
John, I am going stir crazy over here. I feel like I've been locked in for like 3-4 weeks at this point. Like, it was all good and nice at the beginning. I was like, yes, I can be at home, I can roll out of bed, I can attend virtual work. But after like 6 hours of web meetings, I'm starting to die daily.
Well, I can tell you this. If you ever do get called back into your office, the roads are absolutely clear. I'm still loving my commute to my essential job. It takes me 11 minutes to get to and from work when normally it takes like a half an hour, 45 minutes, if not longer. So I'm kind of liking it. Everything's restricted. My boss doesn't care that I show up in like sweatpants and a hoodie. So I'm completely chill with going into the office feeling fully comfortable. But then it's a little stressful because I'm the only one in there because everyone's quarantined. Hold on a second.
Looks like we are having some audio issues.
You know, it would help, Joey. It would help.
If you unmuted me?
If I unmuted you on the stream so people could actually hear you. I don't know if you want to recap your spiel about staying at home or not. It's your call. I'll let you make that call.
I just say, hey, live audience, if you want to hear the beginning first couple minutes of this, subscribe on your iTunes feed. iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, you know everything out there, right?
Spotify. I don't think we're on SoundCloud anymore.
We are not on SoundCloud anymore. That was false advertisement. Good catch, Sean. That was a test.
I'm going to sue you. But something we are on, though, Nation, that's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, maybe you might be able to get that first part of the show with Joey's actual words in it. If you follow him on Twitter, that's at Courtside King. And go ahead and follow myself, John. Hi, that's me, Fiasco, on Twitter as well. If you're watching here live on the Twitch stream, those handles are below those horrific mugshots you're currently looking at. Joey does not have that quarantine beard going on, though. He's got that well-groomed goatee.
I have some beard going on.
Oh, he's got a little. I got that little stubble action going on here, just because you know my boss doesn't hold it against me anymore. So if you're listening on a podcatcher of your choice later on down the road, you can find those handles for the show and your hosts in the show notes below. And Nation, while you're at it, why not leave us a review on that podcatcher of choice? The Level Up Podcast is available on Spotify, Stitcher, as well as iTunes and Google Play. Reviews do go a long way to help grow the show and reach new listeners. So if you do have a moment while you're currently locked away in your basement, we would appreciate you taking time out of your day to leave us a review. It'd be pretty cool. Nation, there's a new record in esports viewership. And it's in a title that I'll admit I have zero interest in, let alone the game or the sport in real life. And of course, Joey, talking about NASCAR, NASCAR esports, something that I am praying is not the only topic we're talking about this week on episode 167. Joey, please tell me we have other amazing topics not named NASCAR in the show.
John, we will be taking some left turns tonight, but that is not all. We have a little bit of a roster move shift up, a little bit coming in for partnerships and investments, but mainly we're talking about games. Games are being delayed here and there. Other games are being moved around as far as how they're going to be released, where they're going to be released. We're going to jump into the esports that's really been taking over the craze. We have ESPN really jumping headlong into esports now. So many sports being replaced or delayed at this point with different esports events. So we're diving headfirst into esports and gaming this week.
Sounds good. Chat is saying that Joey's coming across quiet on the stream. I have you turned all the way up. Let me see if there's something else I can do here for our listeners on Twitch. Don't know what I will be able to do here. All right, just use your big boy voice, Joey. I'll have to take a look at that later on down the road. Joey, we have our topics. Thank God it's not all NASCAR. To get through the NASCAR part of this show, I will need a drink of choice to assist me getting through talking about virtual racing because, God, real life racing is just as bad. Joey, of course, I'm talking about the drink of choice segment. So, Joey, for the 167th time, your beverage, please.
John, tonight I'm drinking wine. I've switched it up from the bourbon. We're going with a 2018 Moderna Tannat.
A what?
Moderna is the winery, and Tanat is the type of blend.
Mm, interesting. I'm going to get that in there. Natty Light Seltzer, because nothing says stay classy while you're quarantined than a Natty Light Seltzer. House rules, so this is your strawberry and kiwi. If you've been watching the baseball streams here on OTN Live, it's pretty much the drink I've been chugging the entire time while playing. We're going to switch it up for that stream. I will introduce a new beverage during that stream, but I'm going to finish my last one of my 12-pack. I just bought this like last week, and I'm already done with it, so it's a little depressing. But Joey, I have my Natty Light. You have your wine. You are classier than I am this episode. So how about you kick it off with gaming and esports news? Let's go.
Sure thing, good sir. We're going to kick it off with a roster move. Top esports assigned former world champion 80 carry Jackie Love. So, John, when we look at this overall, Jackie Love is one of those 80 carries. He played extremely well when he was on Invictus Gaming. Since then, he's fallen out of favor a bit. He hasn't really found that clean spot. He hasn't really found that starting role. Now with the move to top esports here, I think this could revitalize it a bit. For me, it's a bit more of a money move than an actual contender move, but top is not a bad team overall. I just like the fact that we see Jackie starting to get some moves because he wasn't really getting it done before. Thoughts on that one, good sir? I know you're a big Jackie Love fan over there in the Chinese region.
Oh, totally. No, I mean, it's good that, you know, he's getting back into the game. You know, he's a solid player, solid AD carry. Just kind of fell down on hard times. So it's good to see him back in the scene.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a good move overall. And he's one of those players that has really made a name for himself over in the LPL. He's a very electric player. He's good mechanically, but he's able to really communicate with the team too. And he's one of those AD carries that does a very good job of roaming. And if he finds a lead either through a roam or through a quick kill in lane, he's able to really push that forward and snowball. So unlike some of the other AD carries we've seen in the LPL, he is one of those top dominant ones. I'm glad he found a new home here. Partnerships and investments, we have Rogue, the newcomers, really, of the LEC over there, making names for themselves as the Thieves, stealing wins here and there. Much more wins than the 100 Thieves could call to their name. But Rogue is doing well, and Kia would like to jump onto that train. So we have Rogue adding Kia Motors as a partner for the LEC team. This is not an organization-wide sponsor, purely for that hot up-and-coming LEC team full of those rookies like Larson, like Finn, players that have continued to do well over time, and they're showing a lot of promise for the future. I like this move overall. The main reason behind it is to present uniquely creative content for Kia, utilizing what their brand stands for as far as connecting music icons, athletes, now esport athletes as well here with Rogue. Overall, Kia has been a sponsor that's dipped into the esports scene both on an organization level and a league-wide level before, and I think this is another good move for them, especially capitalizing on an up-and-coming organization.
Yeah, strong move for Kia, kind of jumping on an up-and-coming organization, like you just said, with Rogue. Performing pretty well in the LEC. You know, again, car companies in esports, it's been around for a while. They're probably one of the first true believers in esports. And why not get out there? Kia, I almost bought a Kia. You know, who knows? Who knows? Kias are actually good cars, South Korean cars. You know, it's a smart move. You know, South Korea, the mecca of esports. You know, obviously Kia understands esports, the power of gaming, the power of esports. So, yeah, it's great that they're taking that step out of their comfort zone, leaving South Korea, going into the European market. Yeah, Kias are big here in North America as well, but when you go to Europe, Kia doesn't really have a strong hold anywhere. In fact, it's mainly European car companies that you see in Europe. You don't even see North American car companies there too much. Like, you'll see a Ford, you'll see a Chevy there from time to time. But other than that, it's mainly your European, you know, your Mercedes, your Volkswagens, your BMWs. Yeah, BMWs and Mercedes, Joey. Those are taxi cabs in Europe. It's insane to think about. But yeah, I like this move by Kia, and I like this move for Rogue because this is also a way Rogue can kind of judge where they are on the pecking order when it comes to esports now that they're bringing in a big player like Kia as a sponsor.
Right. Definitely a big, big move overall, and I think it's the first of many over there in the LEC. The way the LEC's done their branding this year, it feels like there's so much opportunity for sponsors to come in on a league level, on an organization level. They continue to expand. They continue to make it fresh. They have very nice new graphics. They have new sponsors in Bico as well over there. KitKat? The Have a Break KitKat with all their European technical delays here and there. Now they finally have webcams. We got those come playoff time. It took a little bit of time for us to get there, but they are up now. But overall, I feel like the broadcast over there has continued to grow. The viewership numbers have continued to grow, and I think we see the sponsors continue to grow as well.
About time you guys got your webcams working.
Hey, yo. But hey, our playoff system's working nice and well. If only we could say the same for some of the LCS contenders. Over to other news first, though, John. Sony, they have delayed The Last of Us 2 indefinitely due to the coronavirus pandemic. Have you ever played the original Last of Us?
You know, it's a game I've always meant to get around to. Those kind of story-based games are games I really do enjoy. Games like, you know, Heavy Rain and Last of Us. I've never actually gotten around to playing it all the way through.
Never played it all the way through. Well, yeah. You have your chance again. The Last of Us 2 will be delayed for a little bit, but it will still be coming. So I want to talk a bit about delays in general with Sony. I know you're a Sony fanboy over there. You've shown your colors, but we are all PC Master Race overall here on the Level Up podcast. But The Last of Us is just one of the delays that we've kind of seen come out from Sony recently. They canceled a bunch of VR studios. The Last of Us supposedly is almost as a done game at this point. It's pretty much complete. It has not been completely printed due to the coronavirus and everything going around, but it doesn't sound like there's much work that needs to be done outside of the already delayed multiplayer of it. Now, the other thing, we haven't heard anything about the PS5 other than the brand new logo, which is really blew everyone's socks off. And then Matt Cerny, or is it Matt Cerny, Mike Cerny, whatever his name is, Dana Carvey wannabe, doing the presentation on the technical aspects, which was good. I mean, I think it dove into a lot of the deep technical aspects on a developer level. I think certain aspects could have been good, and we've given our opinion on that before. But for the everyday Sony consumer, for that guy who just wants to come home and pick up a PlayStation controller, it didn't really jump out to him. So now we are months and months into this. The Xbox was already shown. Xbox Series X was shown in December. And now we're in April, moving toward May, and we still haven't really seen much from Sony outside of the logo and some big words that mean technical things for developers. So do you think there's something behind the scenes that could be an issue? There have been some rumors that there could be heating issues with the new system. There's rumors that some of the games are so far delayed that they don't really want to say too much yet. What are your thoughts? Do you think they're just trying to be like, are they trying to cover for something, or are they just trying to let the hype get even more intensified before they release things?
Joey, you sound like an Xbox conspiracy theorist trying to find where on the grassy knoll the Xbox 5 is lying around. Trying to find out what's really behind the, you know, Sony being so super secretive about it. And God forbid they use a PS5 logo in the same style of the PS4, PS3, PS2, and the original PlayStation. A proven logo. You know, Joey, PlayStation doesn't need to see how many X's they can squeeze into a title to make their new generation console sound cool. You know, Xbox Series X, Super X, Squared X, X with the 5X hard drive and the cool X on X processor and X's. Sony doesn't need that, and it's fine. Look, are they being affected by the coronavirus? Absolutely. Everyone's being affected by the coronavirus because, let's be real here, the PlayStation and Xbox have a good majority of their parts being made in Asia, whether it's Japan, whether it's China, whether it's Korea, whether it's Indonesia. A lot of companies are being affected by production. Now, could there be a heating issue? I mean, who else would know better than Xbox if there would be a heating issue? I mean, let's be real here. That's what Xbox made their name on, the Red Ring of Death, overheating, all these heating. So you know what? If there is an issue with heating, the console's not out yet. They're allowed to figure it out before they kind of release it. Completely fine. It doesn't bother me. It's better than releasing a product and having the Red Ring of Death happen because your product overheat too many times, got way too hot, the cooling was bad, blah, 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 blah. I'm fine with it. I'm not looking too far into this. And I get it. I get it. Xbox is 20% faster, so you want to be 20% ahead of the insults. I get it, Joey. It's fine. I'm not going to hold it against you. It's completely fine. Take a sip of your wine. Thank you. And just realize the PlayStation 5 is still going to be an amazing console. It's going to be a great entertainment. I looked at chat and I should not have done that. It's still going to be a great entertainment console. It's going to do what it needs to get done. And I feel like you're not going to lose with either console that you go with, is what it really comes down to. If you want to get down to the nitty gritty and the specs and everything, if that's the way you want to go and base your decision on the next generation console, then fine, so be it. But I think with how secretive Sony is, I think it's a little premature to go into the conspiracy theories that there's a major flaw with the design or with the components or anything just yet. You know, Xbox, they were behind a little bit in the last era. They're trying to make that step forward. Like it's them that has to prove, and come out with big punches. And that's what they're doing, and they should do that. And I don't blame them one bit. Sony's taking the slower approach, the more secretive approach. So who knows? Maybe they're planning something even bigger to blow our socks off later in the year once this whole coronavirus thing's done and over with.
Yeah, I'm really curious as well. I don't think I could see some little heating issues, maybe some structural issues with the console. I think the bigger thing for me is the fact that we already know that there aren't many games coming out in the launch window for Sony. It's already been determined that a lot of theirs are coming 2021, 2022 at the earliest for a lot of their big, big name ones. So with that in mind, I think that's part of the reason we see this slower gap coming out here. At the same point, I would not be stunned if there's a lot of issues behind the scenes. Obviously, they have this super powerful SSD out there that writes so quickly and reads so quickly and whatever it does exactly. I didn't understand half of it, but it sounds nice on paper. So it's going to load things really quickly, and the Xbox has the fast resume thing going, and yes, everything's going to be so fast and fine. It's going to be slower than a PC, but it's going to be great for the living room. Overall, I'm thinking this, I don't know. I feel like Sony's been very reproachive with this, and I think some of the stuff that's come out, like backwards compatibility, was a big bang for Sony. But again, that's something that Microsoft has had for like 3 or 4 years now, and Sony's is much more, I'm not going to say incapable, but more limited than what Xbox has done, where Xbox goes all the way back to the first generation, which PlayStation was out way before Xbox 2, so you can argue that, and there's back and forth. Overall, I want to see something sooner than later, though. I feel like I'm not a Sony fan, but as someone who likes video games and consoles and who wants to continue to see that back and forth in the console market, I think May or June, something has to come out. You enjoying chat over there?
I am, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But seriously, we need something May or June. If I'm a console fan, I need something May or June. We already know Xbox is going to do some kind of conference in June. Sony needs to do a Play X, something. Yeah, they put their sponsor on a jersey. That's wonderful. What is that going to do for me next generation?
EMLS.
That's great. So they're going to sponsor EMLS this year and next year. What other games can I play on their system? What does their system look like? Can I hold my hot dog in that system like they showed in the original pictures?
Oh,
like,
God.
Seriously, like, what is going on over there behind the doors? And they're firing big name people. They're losing developers. Naughty Dog's been crunched like BioWare, it sounds like. Like, I don't know. All these rumors are just coming up and getting crazier and crazier. And as someone who loves video games, as someone who breeds in competition and wants to see the best from both where they push each other, I need something from Sony here. You're enjoying this way too much.
The hot dog warmer. I love it.
I figured the hot dog would get some fire going in chat over there. One more thing that can get your fire going, though, is Legends of Runeterra. If you are a card player, a CCG type of person, Hearthstone didn't quite do it for you. Artifact was not quite your thing. Maybe you like Magic the Gathering but want something different. Legends of Runeterra is officially launching soon. It's in beta right now on PC. It will be launching on PC and mobile on April 30th. I don't think John's going to play it too much, but if he does, I hope he makes it past the innkeeper this time.
I hate you so much, Joey. So much.
Well, we will see what happens with that. I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think it's going to blow anyone's socks off, in a sense. I think it's going to be one of those games that's out there as a nice change of pace for a lot of people. Anyone who jumps into that card collector genre, I think it's going to be a very strong game, especially with the fact that you can pay for cards, but you can also earn them pretty easily in-game just through playing time. The rank system is very similar to League of Legends as well, so it's very clean other than crazy MMR matchups where you might end up with someone crazy at one point, but in a 1v1, it's a little bit easier than playing up against that diamond jungler who continues to gank your lane with T-Spans playing as a cat. With that being said, Minecraft Dungeons. Speaking of new games coming out, this is one that's been delayed on the Microsoft side, John. It's not only Sony delaying these games. Minecraft Dungeons was originally pegged for like an April release. Now it's been bumped about a month to May. We're looking at May 26th for the release date on this one. Now, you and I, we both respect Minecraft. We both don't play it very much, but we love the customization that comes with it. We think the Minecraft education stuff that was recently released by Microsoft is really cool. But overall, we do like this kind of grindiness a bit. I want to speak for us both here. Diablo 3. I don't know if you played Diablo 3. I played Diablo 2. It was nice and grindy. Path of Exile is another one of those dungeon dweller, dungeon crawler games where it's very much loot them up. I think this game could do well. The graphics for me hold it back a bit. But again, that's really the graphics that Minecraft has been popularized with. Minecraft being the second most popular game in the world right now. Minecraft Dungeons coming out as a standalone. Does that gameplay versus artistic style versus creativity really fit into a game, in your opinion?
Why not? I mean, Minecraft is such a unique game. It's got that retro look, that retro feel to it, but it's so intricate that I feel like if this game came out when its artistic style was in video games, like we're talking 70s and 80s is when we really saw that 8-bit and 16-bit gaming style, this game would be way too advanced. Like this game is able to teach kids coding, design. I mean, you know, there's some members in the OTN Discord that play Minecraft that are very, very skilled when it comes to building in that game and kind of like laying out an entire village or an entire industrial complex with working parts. And like that takes a lot of intuition, a lot of imagination to kind of be able to see it and then build it. Dungeons just adds a different kind of challenge. Not everyone in the game wants to play that certain basic style. They want something different. Minecraft Dungeons is going to give you that difference, that change of pace for those who want it. It's completely optional for Minecraft players. You're still going to have the diehard Minecrafters out there that you know, want to build villages, that want to, you know, dig down to the center of the earth and look for diamonds or battle against creepers or you know, try to do like a survival mode kind of thing. And that's completely fine. This mode's not going to be for everyone, but I do think for a competitive group of players that do enjoy Minecraft, I think Dungeons is going to be a great opportunity for them to kind of reimmerse themselves or reintroduce themselves to this game that's really taken the gaming world and really the world in general by storm.
Honestly, if I'm looking at this overall, I think this could be a way to pull even more people into Minecraft as well. I mean, when you look at games like Diablo, like Path of Exile, you can even argue Destiny, The Division. Yes, they're more gun-based than melee-based, but at the same point, they are that loot mentality. Anthem is another one where a lot of the player base has fallen off and moved on to other things. Looking at this overall, the graphics aren't there on the level of an Anthem or on the level of The Division, but at the same point, it still has that core mechanic. You play your way through a dungeon, you find your way through traps, you find your way through certain environments, and you take down certain enemies with friends to end up looting, and then you run it again, and you run it again, and you run it again, and you try to get the best loot, and you end up changing your character through customizations and through this increased loot, and overall, and once forth, and so da-da-da-da. But now you're getting used to the graphics. As where you're playing this, and maybe you're just that loot type of person, now you're getting used to these 16-bit, 8-bit graphics for Minecraft, and maybe you eventually get pulled into custom servers from there with friends. So to me, this is going to be a move that pulls people from Minecraft to play it, but it's also going to pull people from those other communities that are more loot-based as well to at least give it a try. I don't know if they stick around. I don't know if they transfer over to Minecraft from there, but I think this is a game with a very wide reach, and with it being not as graphically intense, it's going to be able to run on a lot of machines as well. So knowing Minecraft, I don't know this 100%, but I would assume that this is going to launch on consoles and PC, probably the Nintendo Switch as well, if you consider that a console or handheld. I don't know about mobile, but at least with Minecraft in general, it's released on a bunch of different platforms. I would not be surprised to see this do the same thing and pull in quite a few players. Also, Game Pass, guys, that is free for you on Game Pass. Game Pass coming to PlayStation in May. Inside Xbox is tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern time for those interested. Inside Xbox is it's like a bi-weekly show, maybe monthly show that covers some of the latest games coming out. So a couple of the ones to look for under this one, and we usually don't mention it on the show, but because there's a lot of new games coming out, we are going to. Obsidian's newest game, Grounded, will be on there. That's going to be a survival, kind of like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids survival type of game. So you get shrunk down and you're playing in kind of like a backyard environment. So there's a bunch of little ants that come. You have to construct things from sticks and leaves and all this kind of stuff. It looks really interesting to me, but it is a really small team, John. We're talking about a team of like 6 people. But I love the idea of a survival game in this kind of new atmosphere that I haven't experienced before.
The reference you used, I think, just got lost on most of the people that listen to this podcast, which makes me feel really old all of a sudden. I'm still kind of lost on that example you gave. But no, I think it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be a unique style of game. You know, whether it's Oh, wow. Look, even chat knows the movie you were talking about, Joey.
I feel like it's not that old.
I sit corrected, sir. Wow, look at that. Wow, that's fine. I don't feel as old anymore.
Oh, wow, this movie's a lot older than I thought, actually.
Exactly. It is stupid old. Apparently there's a Disneyland show for it, too. So, anywho, yes, back to whatever we were just talking about. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be great. I'll probably check the game out also. I did not renew my Xbox Game Pass for PC. I just don't have much time to play a lot of the games on there, and I couldn't really justify the $15 a month. But yes, Joey, I will go ahead and say it for you. Hashtag ad real quick. Xbox Gaming Pass, probably the best deal in gaming right now.
Of course, that's if you're comparing it to buying like two more Lux skins or something like that, right?
Excuse me. I get more usage out of the Lux skins than I do out of the Xbox Gaming Pass, so you can hush your mouth.
I just don't understand how someone can own like 10 Lux skins and use them all. But
because
you have proven me wrong. You have used many of them in many games that we've played, so I will give you that one for now. A few other things. There's going to be Game Pass updates. I don't know what that looks like. It could be something as simple as saying, hey, Nier Automata is coming to Xbox Game Pass this month. It could be something bigger, like now your subscription includes xCloud, which is fully released. So I'm not 100% sure what that is. It's a bit vague. Gears Tactics releases at the end of April. That's going to be like a Gears of War meets XCOM type of game. So if you're into like those very tactical, move your pieces this way and it's going to have this effect on the map and that is going to be coming out pretty soon at the end of the month. And then Sea of Thieves, they're probably dropping some other new update. They're going to probably do a tall tale, probably some cool ship cosmetics, some different cannonballs. We'll see what that entails as well. But again, if you're interested in that, 5 p.m. Eastern time, following Inside Xbox, they will be doing a single player demo of Grounded as well. So they're going to be jumping into the game. I don't know where they're jumping in, if it's at the beginning, if they're jumping in a middle point, but they will be showing you some of the yards, some of the mechanics that go into the game as well from a single player perspective. So we'll have to wait and see on that tomorrow. Now time to take that left turn for you, John. I know you've been waiting. You got your natter day over there. You're semi working your way there. Still a little too bougie for it, but we're working our way there. NASCAR Esports broke the viewership record once again. This time with over 1.3 million viewers tuning in last week on TV for an esports event. Again, I brought this up last week. I'm still a little, I don't want to say concerned, but I'm still questioning how many people actually know this is an esport versus an actual sport, as these graphics and racing games have gotten very, very good over the last couple of years. I mean, if you look at a Forza, it can look like a TV ad for a car nowadays. So I'm still a little questioning, but at the same point, 1.3 million is a big, big viewership number. Obviously, the record breaker for esports, and this is just TV. Let's keep that in mind. When we look at overall esports, a lot of that audience does tune in via Twitch, via YouTube, via Azubu back in the day. So now you got to keep that into the comparison. But overall, for an esport on TV, 1.3 million is quite a few viewers.
Joey, are you saying that the people that watch NASCAR are not smart enough to tell the difference between a video game and the real thing?
I'm just saying these graphics have gotten very good nowadays, John, with all this ray tracing, mm-hmm. all of these beautiful uses of the sunset and sun. I can't even speak anymore. But yes, I think there could be some people that could be confused between the difference. I mean, when I see trailers playing nowadays, I have to question sometimes, is this a video game trailer or is this an actual trailer of a movie? And that's just with people involved. When you look at the car side, because it's not an actual person that you have to do like the human body for, the facial expressions, it is a lot harder to tell the difference.
And I'm just going to go ahead and go out on a limb and here say that they're playing on a PlayStation for this. I'm trying to look it up real quick.
I have no idea actually what they're playing on.
Pretty sure it is on PlayStation. I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise me with a left turn. It'll be on an Xbox. Who knows?
I don't know who owns the rights for this.
I feel like I should have looked this up before.
Unacceptable.
No, I'm not going to turn my ad blocker off for you, NASCAR. I don't want you getting funds from
maybe PlayStation will announce it in 2 or 3 months when they figure out their heating problem.
First off, Sony is inventing new things all the time, like
cross-platform play.
Cross-platform play. How dare you, Joey? How dare you mock Sony and PlayStation for leading the charge in innovative technology for consoles, sir.
I can tell you what, whatever console it is does not have sponsorship rights because I cannot find the answer anywhere.
There you go. So it's probably Xbox.
viewer too much. Anything else on this, though, John? 1.3 no. million viewers is a ton. And I feel like now that really esports has a huge opportunity here. Maybe on the sports esports side, but esports in general, with no sports going on, the NBA delayed, the NHL delayed, the MLB season delayed. Yes, pretty much everything is delayed. I don't know if there's any major sports still happening, at least in the U.S. So with all that in mind, now we're seeing a lot of stations either turn to past championships or past playoff games in the sporting world, or they go to these live esport competitions that are now broadcast online. There's a lot of steam picking up for a lot of these, and now we're finally seeing some of the TV channels pick it up as well, and this NASCAR one has been blowing up.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, all jokes aside, it's actually pretty impressive the fact that they're pulling in this many viewers for NASCAR esports. Now, again, I understand NASCAR gets massive ratings on network television. It's the reason why every Sunday you can't watch your local Fox affiliate, because for 8 hours, it's cars going in a circle and people find that fun. But, you know, look, again, we've talked about it before. And it's going to be a continuing theme. Unfortunately, with the current situation in the world, humanity is desperate for entertainment. Prime example, Joey, I used to be big into watching wrestling, like WWE. And I like stopped watching wrestling years ago. And all of a sudden, last night was WrestleMania. And well, it was apparently two nights. I didn't even know that. And I tuned in to watch because it was actual. Granted, it's all storyline and played out and planned and whatnot, but it was still entertaining. They do a great job acting through the entire sequence and the storyline and the fights and everything. It was entertaining. And, you know, it was something, you know, and that's what we're seeing with video games and esports now, is it's filling that void. People are starting to discover or rediscover different forms of entertainment that maybe they thought of, you know, when they were a kid, and now they're coming back to it because we don't have the NBA, we don't have baseball, we don't have hockey, we don't have all these things that, let's be real here, people, we took for granted. Like, we are starting to see all of a sudden how much we've relied on sports and entertainment in our daily lives. I don't know about you, Joey. This past weekend was an absolute struggle bus with zero sports. I can only watch replays of certain things for so long. Like right now, as we're recording this, my phone is blowing up because they're replaying the Nationals versus Dodgers game 5 NLDS game. Obviously, the Nationals won that game, but that's a game I would probably be watching right now, even though I knew the outcome for it, because watching it in real life, I was stressed out, freaking out and everything, and probably missed a lot of stuff. I can rewatch it and still get some kind of entertainment value out of it. So when that gets old, you have esports, you have video games. And Joey, the one thing I want to point out real quick when it comes to that, it's kind of interesting. The World Health Organization that labeled video games as a mental illness is now encouraging people to stay inside and play video games. I just find that so ironic and hypocritical that in a matter of months, they've flipped on that whole thing. It's just ironic. But again, happy that NASCAR did it. 1.3 million is nothing to sneeze at. That is absolutely fascinating. And hopefully other esport titles can bounce on NASCAR esports's success.
Absolutely mental coming out there from the World Health Organization. I mean, if you want to look at bipolar disease, ladies and gentlemen, that is one of them there, that organization. They just flip-flop here and there, like esports or gaming causes violence. And then next time it's not even determined to cause violence by another study. It's too much from them. I feel like they need to search their facts a little bit harder before issuing these.
Agreed.
With NASCAR, though, I did find the console thing, kind of. It's played, so you can qualify on PlayStation or Xbox.
Boo.
So both are available. It does not say which one's played on, so if I had to take a guess, it's probably played on PC, and then you can either use your little racing setup, you can use your controller, whatever you want to go from there. That's my guess, at least.
Which is kind of funny. So I talked with my parents over the weekend because, you know, my sister's a big NASCAR fan. I'm not sure why. but she tuned in and saw the gaming cockpit these guys have for their racing setup. And, you know, she texts me. She goes, holy crap. Like, this is a big thing. Like, this isn't just like a hobby. This is like real life. And I was like, yeah. Like, what do you think I've been talking about for the last like X amount of years? Is how big esports is getting, that people are investing. Now, Joey, I think we talked about this maybe back on like Level Up, like 60, like 100 and plus episodes ago. these racing esport gamers have virtual cockpits with legitimate steering wheels, shifters, pedals, everything. They have like $7,000 setups for their racing events. Like, it's absolutely insane. Just like, you know, people in League of Legends have their, you know, $200 keyboard, their $200 mouse, and their $200 headsets on. Like, there's a lot of money that goes into being a professional esport athlete. And I feel like a lot of people are now starting to realize that and realize that, yes, this is a real thing, and this is actually a lot bigger than, I would say, a good amount of the general population realized. And I feel like if there's a silver lining in this whole quarantine thing and this whole thing with the virus, if we had to pick out some of the good things that's popped out of humanity after all of this, you could say that the realization of the arrival of esports and it becoming more socially accepted in this absence of where we don't have traditional sports to fall back on, that might be one big thing we can all take away from this, that esports is here. Esports has a place in our entertainment, in our sports world, and a lot of people are starting to realize it now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, esports has a huge opportunity here. Some of them, obviously, like iNASCAR here, or eNASCAR, I don't remember the exact name of it, are really capitalizing on it very well, while some other ones took a little bit of time. They were reevaluating in-person events versus online events. Now a lot of them have moved online, and they're starting to be pushed out a lot more in bulk. So I like the fact of where esports stands right now. I think a lot more people are recognizing what it is in general, and then what some of the entertainment value of it could be. Again, a lot of the audience comes from a TV perspective, so stuff like NASCAR is going to make it a lot easier because, one, they already know what that sport or NASCAR is. They already know about it. They know the similarities. Obviously, the car that crosses the finish line first wins. They know the left turns pretty well. They have 100,000 laps to look at them and watch them and memorize them. So overall, I feel like something like that is going to translate very easily. NBA 2K, NHL 20, all of these type of games are going to translate very cleanly. Something like an Overwatch has been on TV a bit. I think that's a bit more complicated for spectators to follow. It's gotten better at it. I think some of the observer aspects have improved, and it's making it a bit easier for spectators, but again, still a little difficult for someone without that prior esport knowledge of the game. Something like Rocket League would probably do really well right now. If I was Psyonix, I would be pushing Rocket League so hard for TV right now. Fortnite is another one. If you can push out Fortnite competitions during that, this is another great opportunity to show that Fortnite is more than just a game your kid plays for 10,000 hours. It's also a game that kids can watch and play competitively in. So I think there's a lot of different aspects of esports that could capitalize more on this, but overall, definitely a lot of improvement out there. Over to ESPN, John. Unfortunately, I did not get a chance to tune into any of this, but ESPN, again, with all those sports being not available right now, they've been showing some past playoff games, world championships, games that really were like really cool in some way, whether it be a perfect game from a pitcher in MLB, whether it be some 50, 60 point shutout from some NBA team, or dropping of points for some NBA player. So there's a lot of different aspects that they've jumped to on the sports side, but they're also looking on the esports side as well. ESPN has a pretty vibrant esports community. They've been growing it quite a bit with Jacob Wolf at the helm over there. Fion has done a great job too. So when we look at ESPN Esports, they decided to kick off, and this happened April 5th, 12 hours of esports coverage. John, I did not get a single chance to see any of this, to be completely honest, but I do know they did some cool things with some really creative ideas. One of them, they had NBA 2K, where players that were on actual NBA teams played against each other in the competition. I believe they showed some old Madden NFL footage as well of past champions in that. Rocket League, I believe, got some view time too. Did you get a chance to catch any of this on TV?
I did not. I was busy gaming myself and doing laundry because, you know, that's what you do when you become adult. You play video games and do laundry. It's weird.
Absolutely insane. But overall, what are your thoughts on this idea? I think this is a great idea. Something like ESPN really has the power to push esports forward and at least give the opportunity for people to look into esports. And I love the fact they capitalized on it here.
Yeah. And, you know, ESPN is not a stranger to esports. You know, ESPN normally carries... you know, the final match of League of Legends World Championship. Or at least they did for a while. They'd carry it. You know, it was on ESPN2 or ESPN News. You know, it wasn't mainline ESPN, but that's still a step in the right direction. You know, you're getting on a cable sports channel for League of Legends. I mean, call me crazy, but if competitive darts in Ireland can make it on esports, then I think the best players in League of Legends in the world should make it on ESPN as well. So it's nice to see ESPN really doubling down on their initial investment that they made several years ago, which was ESPN Esports. And they have grown like absolute crazy. They're taking it seriously, which is something that, you know, maybe a lot of people had questions on, especially with ESPN downsizing and laying a lot of people off. There are a lot of question marks about what's the future of ESPN Esports. You know, is this something that they're actually committed to? Because esport publications and news outlets die every day. It's a very tough industry, and you need someone with a strong financial background like an ESPN, ABC, Disney company to really back esports and really be dedicated to it. So I like this. They're doubling down on it. You know, if NBA 2K isn't your thing, a lot of people like watching Madden. If Madden's not your thing, take a dive into something that's a little bit more esporty, like Rocket League, where, yeah, the basic concept is soccer with RC cars that can explode, but at the same time, it has that more arcade video game feel to it. And that's that nice crossover that, you know, we've mentioned multiple times on the show, that if there's going to be a game to really draw the traditional sports fan to and help them understand esports on a more endemic level, like a League of Legends and an Overwatch, it's going to be Rocket League. That's like the real hybrid crossover that has so much potential. So I'm glad to see ESPN giving Rocket League more than any other title some airtime on their TV stations. That's the one that, you know, a lot of people believe, one, it needs to be managed better, but two, Rocket League has so much potential. I'm really happy to see ESPN taking Rocket League seriously enough to put it on their 12-hour coverage of esports yesterday on April 5th.
Absolutely. And again, guys, we don't have viewership numbers today, so I don't know 100% how that did end up going. I have a feeling it did pretty decently, though. I don't know if it capitalizes on something as big as a sport event that had a lot riding on it. But at the same point, I think certain people would have tuned in. Maybe you end up with a few more esport fans here and there from that. So we'll have to wait and see what those numbers look like. John, I would not be surprised if we see more esports on ESPN, especially during this lockout, this delay, whatever you want to call it, the suspension of these sports seasons. I think May and April probably have a lot more esports on their way. Activision Blizzard is reportedly in talks for an Overwatch League TV deal. So if you look back, I think it was last season or the season before. I think it was last season, if I remember correctly. Overwatch League was on cable television. It had a deal with Disney. It was on ESPN. It was on ABC. I think we might have saw it on something else, but it at least was on those two channels for sure. Overall, now they have this exclusive streaming deal with YouTube. So they're no longer on Twitch. They're YouTube streamed completely. But what does that mean for television rights? Does that mean they can still go out there to an ABC, an NBC, a CBS, and put themselves on their broadcast? It sounds like they can based on some of these rumors coming out. So overall, a lot of these stations are now looking to find, what can we replace sports with? There's no Nationals playing on a regular basis. The Capitals are not playing regularly either. Because all these sports are delayed, what can we fill that time with? Some stations have turned to sitcoms. Some stations have turned to these older sport events. It looks like NBC is supposedly the group expressing interest here as far as bringing Overwatch League to TV. I think this is a win-win for both sides, John, if I'm being completely honest. Again, once sports come back, it's a bit of a iffiness because I believe NBC, they have who? The EPL is their big deal? Is it soccer EPL?
Yes.
Okay. So they have a ton of different sport deals. The EPL over in Europe is a big one for them in particular. So now you're looking at competing against that. Once sports return, that becomes a bit more iffy. In the meantime, there is no sports to watch. Overwatch League is a popular esport out there. It's not the most popular, but it's far from the least popular. It's done very well overall viewership-wise for the most part. So I think getting it on TV is a huge win for Overwatch League, who has seen a bit of a decline in streaming numbers recently. And then for the NBC side, this is another way to find an active audience to bring to your channel while all these sporting events are currently not happening. So I think this would be a win-win for both sides if the rumors are be to believe. And I believe NBC would probably be a big win for both since they would be new to this Overwatch League scene as well.
Yeah, it'd be big for both Blizzard, Activision, Overwatch League, and for NBC. I do see it making more of a home on NBC's sports channels or sport network. You know, same thing, like if Fox was to get it, I doubt you would see too much on the actual Fox outlet versus FS1 and FS2. But either way, that's still a step in the right direction. you know, I'm excited to see if these rumors do play out. You know, it was really exciting to see Overwatch League on ABC, ESPN, and Disney. Granted, it's all the same company, but that's still a massive outreach. You're hitting Disney, where you have your younger fan base, on a video game that's very popular with the younger generation. Then you're also hitting it on ABC and ESPN, where you're hitting, you know, millennials that grew up with video games, where you're hitting boomers, and it makes for great social media interaction. But, you know, you're hitting a wide range of viewers and age ranges and generations. It's incredibly smart to do it that way. If NBC does that as well, NBC's lineup of shows has a very, I would say, broad audience as well. And I feel like a lot of people have access to at least their local NBC. And if you have cable, NBC Sportsnet is, I would imagine, considered a part of the standard package, if you will. Maybe not, maybe a sports package. But either way, it's going to grow the ability of esports, of Overwatch League, to reach out to other people. So anytime you can get on network television, whether it's cable or local channels, I think it's absolutely fantastic. So I want to wait and see what actually plays out here, because I think if it is an NBC deal, it's going to be absolutely massive for NBC and Overwatch League and esports in general.
Yeah, again, just a rumor on that one, guys. Nothing official coming out, and both sides have declined to comment on that. So we'll have to see what ends up happening there. But it sounds like, at least if rumors are to be believed, Overwatch League is seeking a deal, and NBC Sports Group could be interested. So this could be a very big monumental deal just for network television as well as esports here. So we'll have to see what happens. But I think the prospects are very good for both sides in this one. Franchising is coming to the LCK, John. League of Legends. We have franchising in the LPL in China, in the LCS in North America, and in the LEC in Europe. The fourth of the big Final Four, in a sense, the big major regions, is South Korea with the LCK, and now we have franchising heading that way. I think this is a big move overall, John. When you look at franchising, it allows organizations to have that, I would say, that comfort, that confidence that they can put money into the scene and into their organization without the possibility of them having a really bad split and being relegated to a lower scene and then losing a ton of money in sponsorships, a ton of players potentially that don't want to play on a second tier team. So I think this brings a lot of confidence to the scene overall. And when you look at the LCK in general, they want to have that confidence so they can try those young players. If you're bringing up those young players that could be the second Faker, in a sense, you're going to be a little bit nervous if he's coming up and he's still untested. You might end up in relegations because of that move, so maybe you hold him an extra year, and then you hold the superstar back an extra year when he could be in the main scene. So now, like we've seen in Europe, like we've seen in certain teams with the LCS, you're going to see more people move up into the strings. You're going to see more of these academy-level players getting a shot at the main scene as well. And these organizations are going to be willing to put more money in. So maybe we don't see as many South Korean players move over to the LCS now because their teams, their organizations in South Korea might be willing to pay a bit more for other players that are not named Faker so they can keep them and maintain them in their region. So it's going to completely change up the whole scene in general. But I love the fact that now they're now on the same level, at least, of the LPL, the LEC, and the LCS, at least in terms of franchising, because otherwise players are going to look to those teams with more confidence, to those teams with more really lack of doubt in general, because they're able to invest more.
Yeah, and look, I get it. I get it. You want stability. You want to be able to hold on to sponsors. You want to be able to hold on to your top tier players. I get it. But part of me is still going to miss the whole idea of promotion and relegation. You know, Joey, you and I are both soccer fans, and relegation and promotion is a part of every league around the world except for Major League Soccer. And the thing is, it's kind of that safety net when it comes to standard of play. If you're an organization that doesn't want to shell out money, that doesn't want to actually compete, and you're just happy to be there, you're not going to be able to compete with the top dogs that actually care about what's going on, and thus you're relegated back to the second tier division, and then you have to work your way back up. You know, it's a great proving ground, if you will, because the academy system in some regions are still considered a joke. It's, you know, essentially the minor leagues, and let's be real here, it's not like baseball minor leagues where, you know, you're developing people, because let's take a look at the LCS. Outside of Cloud9, name me a handful of organizations that actually care about their academy team. It's almost none. Cloud9 has been the only organization to really take advantage of the academy system, scout players, and plan for their future. I mean, heck, Blabber, their starting jungler, came from their academy system during that first ever academy draft that they held. That was their first pick in that draft, and Blabber is now the starting jungler, replacing a veteran like Sven Skarren. So that's something to think about. If you're going to franchise the LCK, the arguably the best, if not the second best, league of League of Legends in the entire world, you're getting rid of that safety net of standard of the high ability to compete. Now, yeah, you can make the argument, okay, yeah, you know you're going to be locked in for 3-4 years. Let's say they review it every 5 years and see if you get to keep your franchise. You know, now you know, okay, hey, I can invest in my team over time to become the best version of this team ever. Look, I get it. It makes sense. It's strong. You can go to sponsors and say, hey, look, we're going to be here for the next 5 years. We can guarantee exposure for 5 years. I get it. It makes sense. But at the same time, there's something about relegation and promotion that's exciting. Something about seeing a team come up from that second tier and defeat someone in the bottom of the first tier to earn their way to compete against the top dogs on a split for League of Legends. That's something I'm going to miss. But that's the only thing I'm going to miss, because there's a lot of quality of life changes that are going to be coming to the LCK that I'm happy about. And one of which is the salary of players. The minimum is going to go from 20 million Korean won, which is about $16,000 US dollars. It's going to be tripled to over $48,000 or 60 million Korean won. That is a huge, huge step in the right direction for gamers in the LCK. I think that's incredibly smart. And I think that's going to change their quality of life as well going on, knowing that they're going to have a livable, sustainable salary coming in, and they're not going to have to rely on sponsors and streaming to try to get that money.
Right. I also don't want to see organizations get lazy, though, either. I feel like they still need to go out there. They need to get these sponsorships, and I think they know that, because now they're paying these players a lot more money. There needs to be something going on in that sense. One of the other things, though, and I think this comes with that relegation versus promotion type of thing, when you look at those last couple spots, that really like 8, 9, and 10 spot, there are a lot of these times, or a lot of the times outside of at least the LEC, it feels like a lot of these teams feel like, we're not going to make playoffs. We just don't want to end in last. And that's kind of what's going to come with some of this franchising from these leagues. Like, you're going to get some teams that really push for the top. They're going to be willing to spend a lot more. They're going to be willing to put in more hours. They're going to be willing to look at the best coaching staff that's available to be able to push themselves to the top. Other organizations are now going to be looking just to not be at the bottom. And again, it's similar to what we got with relegations, because you don't want to be that 10th team and have to fight your way back. But I believe the LEC, at least when it was the EULCS, did 9 and 10 both drop down. So there's that bit of competition there as far as with them and the top two teams from the Academy League or the minor league at that point. So overall, I think there's a lot of pluses from franchising. Again, as a soccer fan, I think it brings out it gets rid of some of the stress, but it also, from the fan perspective, it gets rid of some of the excitement as well, as far as seeing who's going to struggle to survive and what new blood is trying to work its way up as a new organization with new players, or maybe veteran players working with new players. So it's one of those things we're going to miss, but at the same point, I think overall this will increase the quality, especially if we see these leagues looked at every 3 to 5 years as far as who has those franchising rights. With League of Legends still being the top popular esport out there, with it continuing to grow in popularity year after year, this is a league that people want to be in. It only costs about $10 million for a lot of these teams to get in, and they're going to want to stay in this league, and they're going to do their best to do so. So I think overall, the overall quality will increase, but at the same point, it's one of those things where you do lose that kind of excitement from a fan level as well. Weekly eSport League updates. To run through a couple of these, CSGO ESL Pro League 11 has been happening. We are in Stage 2 for ESL Pro League 11. Over in Europe first, we have Fnatic leading the charge at the moment at 2-0. Na'Vi is in second at 2-0 as well. Mouse eSports at 1-0. FaZe at 0-1. Then over at Astralis, the defending world champions at 0-2, and OG at 0-2 as well. John, there's still a lot of matches to be played here. I don't think Fnatic on top is a huge telling story, but I do think it is impressive that Fnatic and Na'Vi both beat Astralis this past week. Astralis being that powerhouse team that is now sitting in really elimination territory at the moment in Stage 2.
Yeah, I think that that's the big takeaway here, is that Astralis is really struggling here in Stage 2. of this tournament. And Fnatic, look, you know, let's be real here. Fnatic is a solid CSGO team. So I think it's not surprising that Fnatic's are. I think, again, the big story, Astralis and their struggles is definitely something to look out for as this continues.
And then over to the NA side, it looks like they are still in group play for NA. Team Liquid currently leads 3-0, tied with Evil Geniuses and Furia. Again, all those teams at 3-0. In fourth place for that other spot is MIBR right now at 2-0. And then 100 Thieves and Swole Patrol round out the standings. So a lot of things to look at here. Oh, I'm actually reading that wrong. That's ties. Liquid is 3-0-2. Evil Genius is 3-0-2. Furia 3-0-2. MIBR 2-0-3. 100 Thieves 2-0-3. Losing on differential at the moment. And then Swole Patrol 2-0-3. So overall, we're going to have to see how this rounds out. It looks like Swole Patrol and 100 Thieves take that fifth and sixth spot, which will leave us with Liquid, Evil Geniuses, Furia, and MIBR for your top four. John, of these teams, so obviously Liquid has had its up and downs. Evil Geniuses is another team that's now newly back in the scene after buying out, I think it was 100 Thieves at the time. And then MIBR, one of those teams that was formerly Luminosity Gaming, had a ton of talented players. Some of those players have moved on now. Some of them still remain with the MIBR organization. And then Furia, one of those newer teams that's really found its way into the scene.
Yeah, you know, it's not surprising that Liquid is really topping this either. You know, I feel like North American teams kind of have their ups and downs quite a bit. MIBR had a lot of potential, but, you know, they've been prone to roster turnover also. I feel like that's a common theme for North American CSGO teams is constant roster turnover. It's almost like, you know, oh, you know, we didn't do well in this tournament, so we got to replace this player. And then the next tournament comes along, it's like, oh, we didn't do well, so we need to replace these other two players. And then three tournaments later, it's a completely different team that has a completely different play style, and it's completely just 180 from where they were 3-4 months ago. It's really hard to kind of follow the North American CSGO scene just because it feels like there is so much turnover nonstop. But really, when you look at this, an organization like MIBR, even with their history under different organization names, you expect more out of them. You know, you don't want a 2-3 MIBR, you know, kind of representing North America. They're supposed to be a powerhouse. Liquid, another powerhouse that's done pretty well over last couple of tournaments, but they've also have a history of, you know, pulling a Team Liquid and choking. So it feels like this is still anybody's tournament. A lot of teams, three, are still 3-2. Your fourth place team, MIBR, is 2-3. And then your fifth and sixth place teams are 2-3 as well, with round differential really playing a huge factor here. So it's still any organization's game, but I just feel like North America is so chaotic, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, chaotic is a good way to put it. And I think, unfortunately, with this one, we're probably going to see the final in the semifinals. If you look at the best teams overall, I feel like Liquid and Evil Geniuses are by far the best teams. Furia did take a win off Liquid before in this tournament, so maybe you can argue Furia, but at the same point, I think whoever comes out of that Liquid Evil Geniuses matchup mm-hmm. does go on to win this grand final.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was just so close. Like, even at the bottom there, you know, MIBR obviously beating them out, but, you know, 100 Thieves and Swole Patrol going into the last part of it, you know, before finishing fifth and sixth, you know, again, record-wise, they were still in it. So it's still, it, you know, I still feel like the final four, any single one of them could win it. It's still up for grabs for all four of them.
Then over in Flashpoint, sticking with CSGO, but moving to a new league, the Rush Frag Repeat League by Monte Cristo over here. We do have the upper bracket now finalized. We have Mad Lions up against Fun Plus Phoenix. Again, guys, Mad Lions is that former Splice roster, Fun Plus Phoenix being the Bad News Bears roster. We have Genji up against Cloud9, Have You up against Chaos, and Orglis up against MIBR in this one. So, John, it looks like this has started to round out. This tournament that we thought it was going to be Cloud9 or nothing, now they got some stronger rosters in here. Again, not top 10 rosters, but overall they are stronger in depth. They've continued to grow as players and as organizations. So overall, I think the upper bracket of this tournament did end up looking pretty good.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people had questions because Flashpoint didn't have those big, sexy names. Like you see in ESL. So, you know, a lot of people had questions about the quality that they're going to see and just the overall competitiveness. And it's really been proven false. Like, Flashpoint is a good product. The production's amazing. The play has been absolutely fantastic. And Joey, not to mention, the prize pools are a lot bigger in Flashpoint than compared to ESL. You know, granted, there's, you know, group stage bonuses and everything that ESL Pro League is throwing in there as well. But first place in Flashpoint is $500,000 compared to ESL's 75,000 plus bonuses. So, you know, there's a lot being thrown into Flashpoint. And I feel like calling Flashpoint a second tier league because of it, because they don't have those big sexy names in there other than a Cloud9, I feel like really is diminishing the quality that we're seeing out of Flashpoint in this tournament.
100%. The other thing you have to keep in mind, though, is the franchising rights and what that brings to the table as well. So you do see bigger prize pools in Flashpoint, but the franchising fees that come along with ESL definitely have a big impact as well. John, just to predict these matchups, though, Mad Lions, Fun Plus Phoenix, who you taking?
I'm going to take Mad Lions. They're actually, I've been impressed with them. They're solid. Looks like phase one, they went 3-1. Phase two, they went 3-0. Good round differential. They're playing pretty good. I'm going to go with Mad Lions.
I'm going to take Mad pretty cleanly there as well. Gen G with Cloud9.
Come on. Really?
Cloud9 it is. Have You and Chaos. I will be taking Have You in this one.
I'll take Have You as well.
And last but not least, Orglis and MIBR.
I'm going to take Orglis just because I like their name.
I'm going to go with MIBR. They might be struggling a little bit here and there, but no, I think they are going to pull it out.
It's
going to
be MIBR for sure. So,
not Orglis today, ladies and gentlemen. Over to the CDL. John, it is finally resuming. We have Call of Duty League back, and it is happening virtually in Dallas. It's looking like the 10th through the 12th of April, and the teams, Seattle Surge, Paris Legion, Florida Mutineers, Toronto Ultra, Chicago Huntsman, and Minnesota Rocker. And then we also have the Dallas Empire and the Los Angeles Gorillas participating in this one as well. Again, Call of Duty has that very unique format where everyone plays through this tournament over Friday and Saturday. Those teams continue to move on until a final is accumulated on Sunday. Some exciting teams in this one, John. If you had to take a prediction of who's going to come out on top, I know you followed Call of Duty League quite well so far. Who's your team?
You know, the funny thing is it feels like every are we allowed to call them homestands, or is that copyrighted by Overwatch, even though
it's the same people.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know, it's really a toss up because, you know, Chicago took the first one in London. You know, Atlanta took it in Atlanta. In Los Angeles, it was Dallas in a close one against Minnesota. So, I mean, it really does feel like any team could pull this off. Minnesota has been playing consistently well overall throughout all of these stages. So I'm going to go ahead and put my hat on Minnesota. I feel pretty confident about them. Chicago is going to be like, I think Chicago is going to be their biggest opponent here. If they can beat Chicago and then move on from there, I feel like Minnesota has a chance to take this whole thing.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you overall. I think you're going to look at the group finals, and it'll be the Chicago Huntsmen and Minnesota Rocker in Group B. Then over in Group A, I think Dallas Empire is going to be the winner over there. So it's really going to come down to who comes out of that Huntsman-Rocker matchup. I think I take the winner of Group B, though. Whoever Chicago or Minnesota moves on, I think they do take down Dallas, even though Dallas had a great showing in L.A. Overwatch League has returned, John, and there was a plethora of matchups, a poo-poo platter, if you say, of a ton of Asian teams finally jumping into the mix. We've been waiting to see all these Asian teams play. There's been so much hype around teams like the Seoul Dynasty, the Hangzhou Spark with Gods B as the top DPS last year. What is it going to look like overall? And now we've finally gotten some of those answers. We're into week two of getting to see these teams play. Some big standouts, though, as well, like when you look at the Washington Justice, this is a team we want to see do very well. They had a rough week. They lost to the Defiant. They lost to the Fusion. And I think a lot of this credits to the same thing that was the issue last year, these freaking hero bans. I mean, when you're changing the pools for players that are meant to play other champions, if you have a top player of one champion and now you're throwing in these randomized bans, these people who were recruited to these teams for these particular reasons can now not play in their full instance. So I really don't know how to even power rank these teams at this point because we have no idea what next week's bans look like or next month's bans.
And the bans are so inconsistent. One week you're going to have four. Next week you have six. One week you have five. It is so random. I feel like someone at Activision Blizzard is reaching into a hat and pulling out random names and say, hey, I think this will work. We'll do it. Stop the madness. It is absolutely absurd. If you're going to introduce bans into Overwatch, let the players decide on stage. Give them each three bans. that if one team bans it, it's banned for the entire go. Like, I'm talking both teams, just like it is in League of Legends. If you ban Zoe in League of Legends and you're on blue side, guess what? Red team still can't play it, and blue team still can't play it. That's the way you need to do it. Yes, I do think hero bans are a good thing. I do not like this version of hero bans. It is way too random. I feel like there is no reason behind it other than to throw a wrench into it to see how well-rounded these players are. Look, imagine if the NBA did this and said, oh, by the way, today, if you're a point guard, we're going to put you at center. If you're a center, we're going to put you at shooting guard. And we're going to see how that works out. You're not allowed to cross into each other's zones. Who would watch that? Like, no one wants to see Shaq pull up for granted, Shaq doesn't play anymore. But no one wants to see a Shaq-like player pull up for a three-point shot and brick it or airball it constantly. No one wants to see a player playing out of position or not playing what they were brought into to play try to struggle doing something completely different. Joey, it's like what you said. We saw it last year with the stupid metas, the GOATs metas and everything. It was very boring. It was just blah. They switched to the 2-2-2 format, which you and I both applauded them on. That's a step in the right direction. But the random hero bans, the inconsistent hero bans, the inconsistent amount of hero bans is an absolute travesty to this league, to the players in it, and to the fans. Stop the madness. This is not what you want to see. You do not want to see, you know, someone who's known for popping off on Hanzo and Widowmaker struggle to play Junkrat. Like, it's not cool. It's no one wants to watch that.
No, it's a trash decision. I mean, when you look at it overall, I think the winning formula is two bans, two per team. So you look at four bans total. Whoever bans whoever, that champion, that hero, cannot be played at all in the game. So you're looking at four bans. There's not six people being banned. It's just simply four. But again, one team bans it. You can play a little bit of mind game still because it's back and forth bans. Something like that is much cleaner, and it gives you that variety between matchups. Because maybe one team has someone that pops off on Widow, so the opposing team is going to ban it. But then next game, they have no one that's really that great at Widow, so they leave her open. And then maybe they end up picking her. So that is going to give you more variety than these random monthly hero bans. And it's going to give it to a team level. So we're not looking at a worldwide, league-wide, these are the banned champions or heroes for this week. We're looking at an individual matchup so we can see even more customization from a match-to-match ratio. And I think that's going to make it more exciting for audiences. That's going to make it more interesting for teams. As now they know, they don't have to randomly prep heroes each week. They know exactly this is what could possibly be banned. This is what we're looking at banning. I need to at least have three heroes ready for whatever's to come. Like, I feel like that's easier from a team perspective. That allows players to find more individualized styles as opposed to switching them up month on month. This drives me freaking insane. I hate this. I do not like this as a viewer. I do not enjoy this as someone who tries to analyze games. It's just, I don't feel a win in any way in this situation. Yes, it keeps things fresh, I guess. But I feel like there's a lot better ways to do this.
Can you imagine if League of Legends adopted this style of bans? Like, can
it would kill people off the planet.
If Riot said, oh, hey, we have 148 champions. We're going to ban 70 of them. And it's going to be random. Like, well, I mean, you can still do it. I mean, that
right.
You know, versus, you know, Overwatch. You know, granted, it's a large number. But still, you know, can you imagine if, you know, the same people that decide which champion is OP versus not OP makes the ban calls on your behalf as a competitive player. It's like saying, oh, hey, by the way, Brand is a stupid good mage. We're going to buff the crap out of him. And, oh, yeah, for patch 10.8, we're going to ban Brand. Like, it makes no sense to make those changes as a developer and then handicap your own league. It makes no sense doing it that way. But yeah, Overwatch League seems to be completely fine with it. It's weird.
This is a hill I'm willing to die on. I think this is a very dumb decision.
Agreed.
100%. So we'll see what happens, but at least for now, this is what we get. Again, we've had things like GOATs before, and they came up with a solution with the 2-2-2. Hopefully this solution comes a little bit quicker than Stage 4 this time around.
It took them almost a year to figure it out.
I'm hoping it's sooner. I'm going to remain hopeful. I'm going to have my water bottle half full, maybe a little bit more than half. But we'll see what happens. Again, not a big fan of this, but I think there are easy changes that can be implemented. I don't know as far as developmentally speaking, but two bans per team, allowing them to rotate one ban on Team A, one ban Team B, one ban Team A, one ban Team B, and for those bans to accumulate for each team so there's four characters banned out per matchup, I think is a great solution. Again, you can even do it per map if you want to mix it up even more. But this whole craziness that's currently going on, not a fan at all. But John, one thing I am a fan of, because we do have to move on, the LEC and LCS playoffs in League of Legends have been popping. Big Dogs G2 are now kicked out on the LEC side. What do all the matchups look like for round one of the LEC?
First off, tell me something that's not a bigger upset than G2 losing five games to Mad Lions. Again, this is being played online and not on stage. You can definitely consider that a major factor here. Playing on stage is definitely more nerve-wracking in front of a live audience, pardon me, versus being comfortable in your PJs playing from the comfort of your home. So Mad Lions moves on 3-2 in the big upset. Fnatic taking down Origin 3-1. Misfits versus Rogue was at the five and six, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Rogue moves on 3-1 over Misfits. They'll take on Rogue. Pardon me. Rogue will take on Origin in round two, and Fnatic will take on Mad Lions, the Giant Slayers. Joey, G2 is already in the quarterfinals, according to this, even though they lost?
Yeah. So
okay. Explain.
LOL Esports thing is terrible.
It is.
So there's a winner's bracket and a loser's bracket. Misfits and Rogue started out in the loser's bracket. They already have a strike one against them.
Correct.
So they can lose one matchup and they're out. When you look at the winner's bracket, G2 and Mad Lions, both teams have two lives. Fnatic and Origin, both teams have two lives. So Mad Lions has moved on. They're up against Fnatic. Neither team has lost a life yet in this sense. So this is the winner's bracket final, in essence. So whoever wins on Fnatic and Mad Lions moves on to the final finals. Then we have Origin, who lost to Fnatic, going down up against Rogue, who beat Misfits. So whoever wins that match moves on to play up against G2, who is the top seed in the loser's bracket. So if we had to predict things out here and there, John, Fnatic and Mad Lions have had back-and-forth series all year. Mad Lions extremely talented with young rookies. Fnatic on the other side bringing a lot of veteran leadership who's done very well on the world stage into this matchup. I predict Fnatic to win this one. I think it goes close. I think it could be five games. I'm going to go Fnatic 3-2.
Joey, I'm going to have to be that guy. I like the Giant Slayers. I'm a Nationals fan, for crying out loud, you know? I'm going to go with Mad Lions in five. I think they can do it. I was really impressed with how they played against G2. And again, being able to play from the comfort of your home and not in front of a live studio audience, I think that is a huge factor that can't be ignored. Fnatic's still a really great team, but I'm going to take Mad Lions in this one to punch their ticket, and we're going to have a spicy quarterfinals matchup between G2 and Fnatic.
I like it. So I'm taking Fnatic in five. John is taking Mad in five. Origin Rogue. I think this could be another very good series. Rogue is one of those teams that brings really inventive, creative style to the Rift, while Origin, on the other hand, is very much by the book. If you change things up, if you're a little creative, you can throw them off guard, even though they're very talented. Who do you take in this one?
That's a great question. You know what? I'm going to go with Rogue. Why not? I'm going to go with Rogue. Really impressed. They're going to be riding high off that Kia sponsorship. I think they'll take it to Rogue. I'll say 3-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rogue as well. I think Rogue as well. I think 3-1 or 3-2. I'm going to go Rogue 3-2 in this one. Origin, yes, they're by the book, but they have a lot of great prep that comes out as well. I think that'll be enough to get them two games. I think this does go best of five. I don't know. Rogue could go 3-1, but I'll go best of five, Rogue winning anyway. Very talented team, and I think they really can bring it. Overall, if you had to predict the finals right now, so we know there are five teams remaining, Fnatic, Mad Lions, OG, Rogue, and G2. Who are your two finalists?
In the finals?
Mad Lions is one of them.
I think Fnatic will knock off G2 in the quarterfinals.
So Fnatic, Mad?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a rematch of the match we're going to see this upcoming weekend between Fnatic and Mad Lions.
Fnatic Mad Lions. I'm going to go Fnatic G2. I think that is going to be the final. Yes, G2 did show blood. Yes, they were not the powerhouse team we saw throughout the split, but I think G2 will find their way back. I don't see them losing to a team like Mad twice. Origin has looked very lackluster. I don't think they make it. And again, Rogue is creative, but I think it does have its shortfall. So Fnatic G2 for me, another repeat of that same legendary matchup. over to the LCS before we wrap up today's show. John, over in the LCS, we have some exciting matchups. Round one was a little lackluster. We did have C9 with a 3-0 win. As a Cloud9 fan over there, I'm sure you loved it, even though it didn't go five games. EG in the other matchup, FlyQuest has been planting trees all season, but all they did was plant a loss in this one. EG plotted themselves to a 3-1 win. So round two, that matches us up for FlyQuest and Golden Guardians in round two, as well as 100 Thieves and TSM. What are your thoughts on these matchups? FlyQuest, GG first.
Oh, boy. I feel like this is anyone's game. FlyQuest did not look impressive at all against Evil Geniuses. Golden Guardians have nothing against them. Like, a lot of people counted them out, including myself. I did not think they would make playoffs. They somehow managed to squeeze it out. There's no pressure on them whatsoever. FlyQuest has been a top team this entire split. They've consistently been in the top half of the standings the entire split. Golden Guardians kind of struggling there a little bit back and forth. I feel like this might be a trap game. I feel like Golden Guardians could possibly pull one out if FlyQuest doesn't learn from the mistakes they made against Evil Geniuses. And again, 3-1 against Evil Geniuses. That's not a good look if you're a FlyQuest fan. And like I said, Golden Guardians not playing with any pressure on themselves whatsoever. You know what? I'm going to say it for Squirkle. I'm going to say 3-2 Golden Guardians. I'm going to say the upset's going to happen here. I think FlyQuest is not going to be able to bounce back.
Yeah, I honestly don't think it's that huge of an upset. I think Golden Guardians wins as well. I mean, when you looked at FlyQuest, they're very strong at the beginning of the season. Since then, they've filtered off a bit. They haven't been as potent as they were. They've looked very beatable in multiple lanes. It's not Viper carrying in that top lane anymore. It's not Santorin getting his mid laner ahead. Golden Guardians, on the other hand, have made some very good changes, both mentality-wise as well as roster-wise, and I think they've really set themselves up for a potential win here in round two. 100 Thieves TSM.
Don't make me say it.
Go ahead. I'm curious because I think both teams are trash right now.
One team is called 100 Thieves. The other one is the definition of trash. It's going to be a clown fiesta. It may be five games of clown fiestas. I want 100 Thieves to win so bad, but they played so bad against Cloud9. I think TSM is going to win as much as I don't want to say it.
Yeah, I'm going to go TSM as well. I'm going to take them five games, though. I think 100 Thieves has that potency if they want to use it. Cody Sun, very talented. Someday we've seen him pop off before. When you look at this 100 Thieves team, they have the talent there, and same with TSM, but neither side has really put it together. Again, I have to go to TSM. I don't think the jungler really fits what they need over on that team. Darduk is very talented, don't get me wrong, but I think someone who plays more of a supportive role would do better on that team and really escalate them to new heights, or I guess older heights, to what they're used to. I will take TSM out of this one as well, John, but I think it is very close. And then in the quarterfinals, we do know one of the matchups, and that is EG up against C9. I think this is going to be one heck of a matchup. I do think C9 comes out on top. I'll take them 3-1, but I do think EG pulls a game.
No, I agree. I do think EG will pull a game off of them. They've been playing incredibly well the past several weeks. Cloud9, still a very strong team. Only one loss on their record. They're only blemished this entire split. Cloud9 made easy work of 100 Thieves. So, I feel like Cloud9's not going to underestimate Evil Geniuses. Now, the big thing here is Sven Skarren and Zyzel, former Cloud9 players, now playing for Evil Geniuses. I feel like Cloud9 has a good understanding of what they're going to be going up against. So a competitive advantage to Cloud9 there, but it is the playoffs. Anything can happen. It's winner moves on, loser goes to the loser bracket and is one step closer to elimination. So you can't look at your regular season stats. Evil Geniuses is popping off in the playoffs. I do think Cloud9 takes them 3-1 though, but Evil Geniuses should not be underestimated if you're a Cloud9 fan or a Cloud9 player if you're listening.
Absolutely. So guys, a lot of exciting action ahead. If you want to watch CSGO, that's popping off. CDL is back. Overwatch League is happening. LEC and LCS playoffs this weekend as well. John, there is a plethora of esports to watch, and I am excited for the weekend ahead.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and or Google Play. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to reach out to us and the show. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, we stream regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live. If you are an Amazon Prime member, go ahead and consider using your Twitch Prime membership as well with us. It is free to click a button and we all win. Thanks again, guys.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
Level up.
And we're out.